good start. No, thank you, and I am very grateful for not just the kind words, but also the leadership that I get to serve under, and I have to second everything he said about January and where God is leading Southlake. I dream about it. I literally lay in my bed at night thinking about all the things that are coming up this next year. It's so exciting, and so I'm looking forward to January 26th just as much, and so I'm just excited for that. I'm also grateful for the opportunity to preach for the next 3 weeks, to develop this sermon series and let God lead us where I think we need to go for these next few weeks. And I think it's a great opportunity for me. It's also a good opportunity for Pastor Michael to, like he said, kind of focus on the high-level, long-term stuff for the church and be able to trust the weekly sermons and the messages that God wants to share with us are still being communicated. And so today, we are starting a new series. It's called Letting Go. And before we get into that, I want everybody here, a little audience participation. Can I get everybody to grab the pew that's in front of you, the seat back of the pew that's in front of you, that wood part? You can grab it to the side. Now, grab it like tightly, without hurting your hands. Like grab it really tightly, maybe get those knuckles white, okay? Now that you're gripping it nice and tight, try and embrace the person next to you without letting go. Yeah, it's pretty much possible. It's a little difficult, right? That pew's not going anywhere. You all are the ones that have to let go to be able to embrace the one next to you. And so in this series, you can let go now. Don't want to tire your hands out. This series, we're talking about letting go. And I think in our life, a lot of times there are things that we are holding on to, that we are gripping so tightly, that are actually hindering our relationship with Jesus. There are things in our past that we are gripping and holding on to that's actually keeping us from walking further in our relationship with Jesus. And there are several things that we're going to be looking at in this series that God is calling us to let go of in a specific way so that we can continue to deepen our knowledge of God, so that we can continue to walk more faithfully with him. And so when we are holding on to these things, it's hard to walk with Jesus sometimes. It's hard to embrace Jesus. And so a lot of times there are burdens in our life that we're holding on to. And one of the burdens that we hold on to, I think sometimes, that we're going to be focusing on today is pain. Pain or hurt. Let me say this too, because I think some of us may be really eager to get into this one, and others of us, if you're like me, I love to learn and I love to take information in, but sometimes I take in information, I'm just enjoying learning, but I never actually do anything with it. I don't let it kind of sit in my heart, and so sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense, but I never actually take the time to slow down and pause and reflect and take inventory of myself to say, am I actually holding on to something? Right, because a lot of times, especially with pain or what we're going to be talking about in the next several weeks, it's really subtle. And we don't realize that we're white-knuckling and gripping onto these things. It's not always obvious to us. And so I just want to encourage you, as we get into this today and over the next few weeks, that you would really take this seriously and take inventory of yourself and maybe go down a list of past experiences or things and really set it before the Lord and say, am I holding on to anything that's hindering my walk with you? So I'm going to do that. This preparing for these messages have helped me do that already, and I've realized that about myself, that sometimes I just speed along trying to do everything new without letting go of some things in the past. So one of the burdens that we hold on to is pain, and I think there's kind of two types of pain that we can hold on to. One is pain maybe from our life circumstances, right? This is the pain that life causes you, or maybe you feel like God is causing you. Right, it's your circumstances, it's different things in your life, maybe health-related. And then there's also, I think, what I would call hurt, which is pain that other people have caused you. Maybe it's an offense or an injury to yourself or your emotional well-being that someone else has caused you. It's hurt is maybe pain that you could blame someone else for, that you feel like someone else is responsible for. So there's pain and there's hurt. And whether it's the pain that life has heaped on you or hurt that others have caused you, when we are gripping on to that pain, it can sometimes feel like God has abandoned us, like God has kind of left us on our own to deal with it. It can feel overwhelming. It can feel isolating. And when God feels distant, sometimes it feels like there's nothing else to hold on to but that experience, but that pain, that hurt. And in times like that, you may relate to David, who cried out in his pain in Psalm 22. It's a famous psalm. He starts out in verses 1 and 2 saying, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night I lift up my voice, but I find no relief. Pain has a way of just making us feel alone. It has a way of isolating us. It has a way of making God feel so incredibly distant from us that sometimes we doubt his goodness, or we might even doubt his existence. Right? Sometimes we also look around and we see other people and it feels like, man, why am I experiencing so much hardship? But their life seems so perfect. Or why do they never experience things like this? Right? And sometimes we even look at people who aren't following God's way, who aren't walking with Jesus, and we're like, God, I'm going to church every Sunday. I'm trying to follow you, and my life is a train wreck. You just keep heaping stuff on top of me. They're not even trying to follow you, and it seems like their life is so much better. Sometimes we look around, and it looks like people have no problems except for us. Again, another psalm talks about this, Psalm 73. He describes this. Starting in verse 3, he says, for I was envious of the arrogant as I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pains in their death, and their body is fat. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like the rest of mankind. Jumping down to verse 12. Behold, these are the wicked and always at ease. They have increased in wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence. For I have been stricken all day long and chastened every morning. This psalmist is experiencing deep pain. He's feeling alone. He's feeling like God isn't seeing his situation. And he's looking around at all of these people who he knows aren't following Jesus, who aren't following God. And he's saying, they're wealthy. They're prosperous. Their life is easy. I'm over here struggling. He's like, surely I've tried to follow God in vain, because if I'm following God, life shouldn't be this hard. Surely there's some mistake. Right? If I'm following God, if I'm trying to pray, if I'm worshiping God, life should get easier. I think a lot of times we have that mindset too. If I'm a Christian, my life should be better and easier. If I'm following Jesus, things should go really well all the time. And then when pain happens to us, when life heaps on these troubles and these circumstances, then we start to question, why should I even try to follow Jesus? What's the point of being Christian if my life isn't going to get easier? What's the point of following Jesus if life is going to be hard still? We can become jealous of those who seem to never experience pain. Right? Maybe you come to church every week and you hear Pastor Michael and I preach about following Jesus, about living a holy life, about walking in righteousness, all the while you're struggling with all these things in your life, and at some point you get to the mindset of like, well, why even try? This isn't working. It's not helping. Here's the thing I think we need to realize this morning, is that whether it looks like it or not, everyone experiences pain on some level. Everybody experiences pain in life. We just walked through a series on James about how to make it through trials, right? How God is calling us to make it through trials. The assumption is that we are going to have trials. There's going to be pain. Other people are going to cause you offense. And the question then is, how do we respond to it? What are the responses that we have? What are our options? I think the world who doesn't know Jesus has a few different responses to pain in their life, whether it's circumstances or pain that people have caused. They could point blame at other people. They could try and get even, try and get revenge. Who's ever heard the statement that says, hurt people hurt people? Yeah, if there's pain in my life, I'm not going to deal with it. I'm going to cause other people to feel that pain so that they know what my pain feels like. Or, and I think what we see so much, is the world just tries to numb the pain. How many different ways can you think of that people just try and numb the pain of their life or the existence of their life? Whether it's food, whether it's drugs and alcohol, whether it's relationships just ongoing, right? Whether it's just entertainment to distract themselves from it. The world is just trying to numb itself of all of the pain. The world is just trying to numb itself in all sorts of ways. But my question is, how is that working for the world? Does it seem like anyone is successful in removing all the pain from their life doing those things? Does it seem like that's actually helping remove pain from other people's lives? Or is that maybe just adding to it and making it worse for them and for everybody else? I think it's counterintuitive to a world that does not know God, but the solution in pain, or the solution to pain in this life, is not actually to try and get rid of it all. The solution to pain is not to try and get rid of all the pain we face in life. Why? We don't necessarily need less pain in our life. What we need more of is God's presence and his perspective. We don't necessarily need less pain. We need more of God's presence and his perspective. Psalm 73 continues on to describe this experience. This is the one where he was looking out around at the world and saying, why do the people who don't follow God have it so much easier than me? Why am I trying to follow God if it's not going to make my life easier? But then, verse 16, he says, when I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight until I came into the sanctuary of God. Then I perceived their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Verse 21, when my heart was embittered and I was pierced within, then I was like a senseless, or then I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand. With your counsel, you will guide me, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you will perish. You have destroyed all those who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. Right, the one who wrote this psalm, at first he was jealous of those who seemed to have no pain in their life, even if they didn't have God in their life either. They were starting to get jealous of people who didn't have God in their life. And he was struggling to understand the reason for his pain, why all of this would happen, why those who reject God seem so much better off sometimes. The truth is, he was trying to handle his pain all by himself. He was holding on to his pain, holding on to his situation, holding on to other people's experiences even. He was gripping his pain so tightly because he couldn't understand why God was stacking the cards against him. And then after struggling with this way of thinking, after him realizing that he was just bitter and torn up inside over questioning all of this, he finally brought his pain to God. He finally stepped into God's sanctuary, meaning his presence. And only then did he realize that God was continually with him, holding his hand, guiding him through his pain. All of his pain and his bitterness against his situation fell away when he saw things from God's perspective. He let go of his pain, and he held on to God's hand, making God the one he runs to in times of need. Did it ever say that all of his pain went away? He let go of it, and he held on to God. He made God his refuge. He saw things from God's perspective. He saw the ways that God was guiding him through. But did he ever say all of his pain went away? No. But now he's got the God of the universe walking him through it. We need God's perspective. When we operate from our own perspective, we think that we can handle pain by ourselves just fine. But God's perspective comes in and shows us how truly needy we are. It's a good thing to be needy for God. God's perspective helps us understand that. We need God's presence. And here's the thing, when we bring our pain to God, we realize that God hears the needy. God's perspective helps us understand that we're needy, and then we step into his presence and we realize that he hears the needy. Psalm 22 started off with David crying out, feeling abandoned by God. He's like, God, you're not hearing me. I lay awake at night and you're not even there. I'm going through my day. You're not there. But as he continues seeking God in his desperation, his neediness, his pain, he becomes confident that God has never abandoned him, but in fact hears him and is paying attention to his situation. Verse 24, Psalm 22, verse 24. For he has not ignored or belittled the suffering of the needy. He has not turned his back on them, but has listened to their cries for help. We have a God who pays attention to our cry for help in the midst of our pain. We have a God who not only listens, but he doesn't even minimize our pain. The God of heaven sees the pain and the hurt that you are walking through right now, and he doesn't say, yeah, I hear you, but it's not that bad. When I talk about hearing God's perspective, looking at your pain from God's perspective, that perspective isn't, oh, look how tiny that pain is. God has not belittled your pain. He sees it. He knows what your pain is like. Our God not only listens, he hasn't turned his back. He pays attention and he doesn't belittle you in it. Furthermore, he invites us to take our pain to him and to let it go. To make him our place of refuge, to let go of our pain and our hurt. Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. See, it's at this exact moment that when pain tries to hide the presence of God from us, when pain tries to isolate us so that we can't hear God, we can't see him, we don't sense him anywhere near us, it's in that moment when our pain is isolating us from God that Jesus comes down and invites us to him. To bring these burdens that we cling to and actually to release them onto him. It's by his invitation that we can come to him and to let go of our pain. Now, God's presence doesn't always remove the pain. But his presence is what gives us the ability to let go of it. Now, when I'm talking about letting go of hurt, when I'm talking about letting go of pain, I'm not just saying, just don't care about it. It's not that big of a deal. Just let it go. Just don't let it bother you. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what letting go of pain means, right? God doesn't belittle your pain, but he's still telling you to let it go. What does it mean? It means take your pain to him and offer it to him in prayer, in worship. It means bring it to God. When Jesus says, my yoke is easy, it's because he carries that burden for us. Bring your pain, your burdens to him and let them go because he's the one who can carry them. Why is this a better response than the world's response? This sounds like a very Christian thing to do, right? Bring your pain to God and let it go. Some of you maybe really get what that means. Others of you may be struggling with that. Why is this a better response than the world's? Why should we trust Jesus with our pain rather than trying to numb it or even the score with whoever caused it? It's a better response for this. Even beyond being a listening ear, even beyond just the invitation, God is the one who actually does something about your pain. God is the one who's actually already done something about your pain. The gospel is that God himself knows what pain feels like. The gospel is that God in heaven knows what pain feels like. Jesus suffered the weakness of being hungry and being thirsty and being fatigued and tired. Jesus suffered the gossip and the slander of other people saying false things about him. Jesus suffered the betrayal of a friend. Jesus suffered the abandonment of his closest friends. Jesus suffered a beating and whipping beyond what we can even comprehend. And Jesus suffered the penalty of hell, separation from God, separation from his Father in heaven. The gospel is that Jesus is the only one who can carry our pain. The gospel is that Jesus is literally the only person in the universe who can carry your pain. Because he knows better than anyone what that pain feels like. Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 5. God knew this so far ahead of time. This was written like 700 years before Jesus walked around, by the way. Isaiah 53, God knew this. This was his plan the whole time. He says, he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness that he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Jesus is the only one who can carry our pain. That's why this response is so much better than what the world has to offer. That's why this response is better than revenge or just numbing the pain. Because God can carry that pain. Now, letting go of our pain and allowing Jesus to carry it is also the only response to pain that actually fills our pain with any sort of purpose, that gives our pain any sort of meaning. 1 Peter 1 gives us a greater glimpse into the purpose of our suffering. The Apostle Peter here, he's writing to Christians scattered throughout the regions of the North Mediterranean, right? All over the place. And these Christians all over this area are experiencing tremendous pain. They're experiencing physical pain because they're being persecuted, but they're also experiencing societal and relational pain and rejection, right? The culture at large is rejecting them for following Jesus. Any Christian or any person who becomes a Christian is likely separated from their family. They're being rejected by their family, whether they're Jewish or Gentile, whether they're Jewish or Greek, right? They are being rejected by their family for following Jesus. They are understanding this pain here. And so Peter encourages them with the hope that comes from bringing their pain to Jesus. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 9 say this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. What is Peter doing here? He's reminding these Christians of God's presence and God's perspective. He reminds these Christians that our hope is alive and strong because Jesus came down and suffered just like we did, but was raised from the dead, which proves that God's presence is more powerful than pain, even the pain of death. God's presence. He also wants these Christians to seek God's perspective on their suffering. He tells them to rejoice in the hope of God's saving power, even though he isn't saving them from the pain they have to experience for a little while. He's not belittling their pain, but he wants them to see it from God's perspective. Now, what does Peter mean by a little while? When Peter says, even if it's necessary, you have to go through trials and pain for a little while, what is he talking about? Is he saying, all right, Christians, I know Emperor Nero is evil and a maniac, but once he's gone, once the new emperor comes in, the Roman government will get better and they'll stop killing Christians? Is that what he's saying when he says a little while? Or is he saying, God will only allow you to face these trials for 1 year, and then guess what? You're going to graduate, you'll be a tested, proven Christian, and your Christian life will have no more pain or trials. You get to graduate after this year of trials and then walk free from pain. Is that what he's saying? No. When Peter says a little while, he is assuming that these trials that they're going through, this pain they're experiencing, will last their entire life on earth. Why is he saying it's a little while? Because your life, God's perspective on your life, is that your life is a blip on the timeline of eternity. This pain that we experience in our life, even if it lasts our whole life, 80, 90, 100 years, right? If you experience pain for 100 years, Peter wants to remind them, what is that compared to the eternal hope that Jesus has waiting for you in heaven? It is this hope of being with God that allows us to see how our pain might refine us and shape us to be more like Jesus. Our pain is not meaningless. It is actually a tool in God's hands that refines our faith and prepares us for heaven. That's why Peter says in verse 7, so the proof of faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Rejoice in the midst of this pain because it is testing your faith so that it will result in even greater joy and even greater praise. Peter's encouragement is this: your pain will result in something great. Your pain is not meaningless. Even the little minute pain that we go through on a day-to-day basis, that is not meaningless when we have our hope fixed on eternity with God. It has an eternal result. Now, my heart just, it seriously breaks for everybody who walks through pain but does not have the hope of Jesus, the hope of eternity with Jesus to cling to. My heart shatters for those who are just being crushed and beaten down by pain, all for what? To just numb it for the rest of their life? To walk through all of this pain and at the end have it result to absolutely nothing? That is a tragedy. That is so tragic. I hope you feel that. We have a hope in Jesus that we can go through this life in pain and still have purpose in it, still see that that pain amounts to something, that that pain is shaping us to be more like our Savior who suffered, that that pain is bringing to us a greater joy in eternity, that that pain may actually shape us in a way that helps someone else in their pain. Our pain is not meaningless. God never promised anyone a life without pain, okay? But it is through Jesus that he offers hope, and he offers to fill that pain with a sense of purpose and to actually accomplish something through that pain. The world experiences pain and only becomes more bitter, torn apart inside. The Christian who walks with Christ, who has brought their pain to Christ and let it go and let him carry it, the Christian experiences that same level of pain instead, but has the presence of God to comfort them, has the family of God to encourage them, has the purpose of God to work towards, and the hope of God's eternal kingdom to cling to instead. That's why we say the best thing God could do for us is not actually to remove all the pain in our life, but it's for him to be present in our pain and to give our pain a purpose that lasts beyond our lifetime. That's why he calls us to let go of our pain and to cling to him. And Peter knows that's not an easy task. This is why we're coming full circle here, right? In our pain, it can feel like, what is the point of trying to live a righteous life? What is the point of walking with Jesus and doing what he says to do and loving my enemy if it's not making my pain go away? Peter knows it's not an easy task. In verse 13, he says, therefore, since God is using your pain to prepare you for eternity with him, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit and fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. This is what I'll leave you with today. Prepare your minds for action. Be sober in spirit. And fix your hope completely on eternity with Jesus. We're going to face pain in life. Prepare your mind for action. Prepare your mind to face that pain from God's perspective. Here's a question. Don't just try and numb that pain. Here's the question. Do you value eternity with God more than a comfortable life? What is the hope of heaven to you in the midst of your pain? It's not a helpful expectation if you think that God should remove all the pain from your life. That is not helpful. If you go through life with that mindset, you will end up in bitterness. But be prepared to experience pain and then take it to God and let it go so that he can fill your life with that purpose. And finally, focusing on eternity, fix your hope completely. Any hope that you have, put it in eternity. Fix your hope completely on eternity, and that will lead you to a life of holiness even in the midst of enduring pain. When the psalmist who wrote Psalm 73 was questioning if he just was following God in vain, his answer was that obedience to God is actually the very thing that leads us through pain. Obedience to God, fellowship with God, is actually the very thing that God uses to produce something good in our lives. That's why God is calling you to come to him, to let go of that grip that you have on the pain and the hurt that others have caused you in your life, and to let it go to him in prayer and worship. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we are so thankful, overwhelmed really by your invitation, that we get to step forward and come to you and just drop our pain on you. God, the promise that you have given us that you will carry our pain, I pray that that would resonate with each one of our hearts this morning. God, for those of us in this room who are experiencing immense pain, just crushing pain right now in this season of life, I pray that you would make your presence known. That as they cry out to you, just like David did in Psalm 22, that as they cry out to you, that you would be quick to hear them, that you would be quick to remind them that you have not belittled their experience, but God, that you are calling them to walk with you and to let it go so that you can be the one to carry it, so that you can be the one to guide them through it, so that you can be the one to protect them by your power until you come again. And God, for those who are holding on to pain from the past, I pray that you would reveal what that situation is, that you would lead each one of them to bring it to you in prayer, to let it go into your hands, trusting that you will take care of them, trusting that they can walk with you into the future, free from the hurt of that pain, but renewed in the purpose that you can bring because of it. So God, right now, we just praise you and we give you all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to respond right now in a time of worship. And my encouragement to you is, if you feel that pain in your life, or if you've experienced that pain in your life, use this time of worship to let it go into God's hands. Worship with me. One of my favorite things is to see the encouragement of our family, our church family, surrounding one another in those times of pain. That's one way that we can bring it to God and let go of it. And that's another way that we can carry the burdens of one another as the family of God. So this morning, if you would like to receive a blessing, would you hold out your hands like this? Peter encourages all of us this morning to prepare our minds for action. Prepare our minds by God's word, through prayer, through worshiping together, so that we can face that pain and recognize God's presence with us and his perspective over it. Be sober in spirit. Have the expectation that God is going to go with you. That's his promise, and he will keep his word in that. And now fix your hope completely in eternity on the glory that Jesus will bring you. Our life is such a little time compared to that eternity with God. We can live in his presence right now, and that just continues. And so go this week in the presence of God with his perspective over the pain and all the rejoicing. Carry one another's burdens. Hug somebody, tell them you love them, and we'll see you next week.